going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Going the Distance podcast presented by ImmaculateSports.com. Twitter's at ImmacSports.
Instagram is also at ImmacSports.
TikTok, YouTube, Immaculate Sports. It's episode 207, 1 week closer to football, but we still got some good baseball content for you. We'll start off with the weekly awards, of course, and after that, some really fun stuff, including football.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at a kind of unique topic to us. I don't think we've really talked about this specifically before, but some postseason matchups that we want to see ranked. And we have our top 10, maybe some honorable mentions with that as well, too, of some of the matchups that we'd really like to see come October, and maybe even some, you know, fall classic matchups in there as well, too. After that, we'll do our QB draft. So similar to the things that we did the last few weeks with wide receivers and running backs, we'll do the QB draft this episode, and it'll be only 8 rounds in comparison to the 10, because we didn't want, you know, some of the bottom of the barrel QBs getting drafted in our stuff. But we'll do that later on in the episode. Before that, though, we got to get into our opener. And Skyler, tell me yours with college football week 0 during this past week.
College football is back. It's some of the most exciting stuff you will see all year. We had 4 all right games that I'll get more into, but I'm just happy it's back. That Georgia Tech win was awesome. DJU, what happened, man? That guy looks horrible right now, but maybe they could shake things off. Not picking him for the playoff, though, that's for sure. Just happy second half of the show. We'll get into week 1 schedule and what you should be watching, because this is going to be another hectic week for college football.
So fun week 0, but the best thing that I saw from this past week had to have been the Little League World Series in Lake Mary, Florida, winning the Little League World Series for the first time ever that a Florida team has ever won the Little League World Series. It was a crazy game. Chinese Taipei against them in the championship game. Ended up going 8 innings. The Little League games regulation are only 6, so it had a couple extra innings there. It was 1-1 going to the bottom of the 8th, and in the 8th inning they have the runner start at second base, similar to the MLB does. Keep in mind, Chinese Taipei has been the super, like, disciplined, you know, locked in team throughout this entire tournament. They cover bunts well. They bunt well. They, you know, super disciplined at the plate. They just do everything right. But it didn't happen when Florida laid down a bunt to get the runner over to start off the bottom of the 8th inning. Pitcher and the first baseman crashed on a bunt that was over to their side. Pitcher picks it up and immediately fires the first base without looking. And nobody was covering first base at all, not the second baseman, because he was at second. He was the guy who probably should have been there, but ended up not being there regardless. Florida comes in and gets the winning run to score. They win the World Series. I always think it's funny, especially after, you know, a big elimination game in the World Series, when they immediately cut to the kids who lost, like, mm-hmm. right after they lose, and there's like they're just showing these 11-year-old kids just bawling, crying, like,
because they made one mistake in 8 innings. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I think maybe, you know, ESPN should have ethically just shown the winners. But it's funny every now and then to see that happen. But I don't know. I feel like it's kind of messed up to watch those kids cry all the time.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to our player pitcher rookie of the week that we do every single week. Starting off with the player of the week, Skyler, some interesting choices here. Who'd you end up going with?
I think we got to start off the episode right with Aaron Judge, 6 homers in 6 games. He's at 51 now, on pace to beat his best. That was the Roger Maris record last season. And I'll give an honorable mention to Ohtani for all the clutch hits he's had and joining the 40-40 club on the walk-off. Pretty sick. My 2 MVP picks.
Yeah. Aaron Judge has got to be my player of the week as well, too. 7 for 20 wasn't ridiculous, but the 6 homers was very ridiculous. Also, this entire week only struck out once. OPS 1.76 or 1.750, so up near 2. He's now got OPS on the season at 1.2, which is a ridiculous number to see for anyone not named Barry Bonds. And I saw a stat today by the Nationals broadcast who they're playing right now. And it said from the start of May, if you took out that April month from Judge and just started the season in May and spread that out over 162 games, he'd be on pace for 74 homers.
Wow.
So he would have been right around that Bonds record, which is absolutely ridiculous to see. Just goes to show you how great he's been this season and after the month of April in general. It's ridiculous. On to pitcher of the week.
I'm going to go with my guy, Kevin Gausman from the Blue Jays. He had 7 shutouts, 10 strikeouts, no walks against the Angels. He's having an amazing second half. No one's going to remember because of how awful Toronto's been, but this was a pretty good sign from Kevin Gausman these past couple starts.
Yeah, I also went with a Blue Jays starting pitcher, but I went in a different direction. I went with Bowden Francis here for his ridiculous start against the Angels this past weekend. He went 8 innings. No hit originally, came out for the 9th, gave up a leadoff homer to Taylor Ward that kind of just threw off his score line a little bit, screwed up the shutout, screwed up the no-hitter, screwed up the complete game because they took him out right after that. But regardless, it was 8 really strong innings for Bowden Francis. Only that one hit, of course, and 12 strikeouts, which I have to imagine is career high for him. For an arm that Toronto's looking at to be a bigger part of their future with him stringing together some good starts recently. On to Rookie of the Week.
Yeah, this one's going to be Francis for me. Different Toronto starter, obviously. Another guy having a great second half. He takes the no-hitter into the 9th, like you said. Double-digit strikeouts.
Yeah, also something cool about that Bowden Francis no-hitter, or close to no-hitter, is that he went back out there in the 9th inning with like 112 or 115 pitches or something like that. It's not something that we see too often. So I do commend John Schneider in Toronto for letting his starter go out there, even with the 115 or 116 pitch mark that he was at. My rookie of the week, though, is going to be Pete Crow Armstrong. PCA had a highlight-filled week, especially in the weekend over in Miami. He went 9 for 22 with 2 doubles, 2 homers, 1 inside the park, 1 outside the park, way outside the park, that is. Inside the park was also the fastest time around the bases since like 2016 or something like that. So PCA was flying around 360 feet in 14 seconds or whatever it was. He also had 3 stolen bases. He's been great this second half so far for the Cubs. In a spot that was kind of, I think he got memed quite a bit in the first half of the season for just being a Kevin Kiermaier type, guy where maybe the bat isn't great, but the fielding's great. He's kind of shut up those haters recently with being a pretty productive offensive player in the last, month or so of the season. Moving on, though, to our top 10 postseason matchups you want to see. It was kind of weird, finding the matchups for this, because I was trying to figure out or trying to make sure I didn't leave anything out. And so I didn't just want to just go like, oh, yeah, I'd want to see that and then write that down. Oh, I want to see that and then write that down. Tried to write every single one down and then use the process of elimination to figure out the ones that wouldn't be as good. And it kind of left me with some that were just off. Do you have any honorable mentions that you want to talk about before we get into the top 10? Because I got a couple.
Basically, any scenario where the Astros get back to the World Series.
Yeah, my first or the two things I want to talk about, they both include the Royals, and it starts with the Royals and Baltimore. I think the shortstop matchup between Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt on, national television every single night would be a lot of fun to watch. And just seeing that dynamic of those two teams that are kind of up and coming would be pretty fun. And then also I had Yankees versus Kansas City in this year as well, too. The two top MVP candidates in the American League, Judge and Bobby Witt, going at it to kind of have a final say of who could be the most valuable player in that sense. But moving on to number 10, Skyler, what matchup did you choose here?
Number 10, we're going to start off on fire with the Subway Series, World Series matchup, Yankees versus Mets. Definitely the least likely out of all my picks. That's why it's at number 10. The last Subway Series was in 2000, and this is probably the closest we've gotten to it, but the Mets are still 3 games back of Atlanta.
My number 10 is an AL Central matchup. There's kind of 3 teams in the mix right there with Kansas City, Cleveland, and Minnesota. This is the only matchup I have on my entire list of 2 Central teams, and it's the Kansas City Royals versus the Minnesota Twins. I love the Guardians squad, but just – it doesn't feel like a fun postseason matchup when you consider the 2 teams that are besides them in the Royals and the Twins. I think you have a better starting pitching. You have a more complete matchup, you know, head to toe with those two teams. And I think seeing hopefully a healthy Royce Lewis versus Bobby Witt and, you know, the guys on the Royals as well, too, I think would be a super fun matchup to see come October. Number nine.
Number nine, I got a matchup of NL East teams. This is the Braves versus Phillies second round rematch. It feels like they always end up playing each other in this round, no matter what the circumstances are. It'd be cool to see the broken Braves steal one back this time after what happened last season. So I got an interesting second round matchup for nine.
Yeah, I was about to say my nine. I don't know if I should say that, but my number nine pick on our matchups is going to be a matchup that we've seen quite a bit over the last 10 years in baseball. That's the Yankees versus the Houston Astros. The reason why it's not higher on this list, because Astros have kicked the shit out of them every single time that this matchup has happened, whether it's, you know, the past couple years or even going back to, you know, 2015, 2017, those times. It's always been tough for the Yankees in this matchup, and so I didn't have it higher because of that. And I think that rivalry started to grow a little stale for me, especially since most of the guys that were there originally aren't on those teams anymore. So the rivalry is a bit different, but I still think it'd be an intriguing matchup and a matchup that everyone would like to see come October. Number eight.
Number eight is where I got my first American League matchup. It's the Yankees-Orioles DS/CS. They're pretty jumbled together right now, so I didn't make a definitive pick which round it's going to be. But Baltimore's gotten the better of the Yankees so far this year. And, you know, a lot of runs are coming home in this series if we get it.
Yeah. Number eight for me is the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the San Diego Padres. This looks like it would be just the most fun matchup to watch right now, based off of the teams, how good they've been in the past couple of months. That's why it's not the highest at my list, because it might not be hot in a month from now, and it might be a bit of a staler matchup. But if we saw, you know, even a regular season series against these teams within the past couple of weeks, I thought it would have been super fun. Unfortunately, the schedule makers didn't make it like that. I'm not sure when they play next, but they haven't played, you know, over the past, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, unfortunately. But if we were to see a matchup between these two teams who got the vibes right now, hopefully with, you know, Ketel Marte and Christian Walker healthy for Arizona, and some of the pitching as well healthy for San Diego, I think it'd be a super fun, also Fernando Tatis, a super fun matchup come October. Number seven.
Number seven, another World Series matchup. It's the Phillies against the Orioles. These two teams have set themselves up pretty nicely for the next 5 years or so, and that includes trades with each other. So I think this could go down as a legendary rivalry if they ever do match up in October.
Number seven pick for me is the first World Series matchup I have on here, and it's the two biggest markets in baseball. I have the New York Yankees going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Shohei versus Judge is all the marketing would need it to be. It's the two biggest faces. It's the two most recognizable names across the sport going at it in what would be, you know, a fight for a World Series title, which would be super fun to watch. Personally, I don't think the games would be as exciting as I would personally want it to be, and that's why it's number seven and not number two for me. But just the, I don't know, the aura, the vibe around the World Series. If it was two big teams like that, New York, LA, West Coast, East Coast, it'd be really fun to see at a number seven spot. Number six.
I agree with you on that pick, but I left him off too. I agree. It's not something I would necessarily want to watch, even though a lot of firepower. But I am going to go with another divisional matchup in the National League. I'm National League heavy today. Dodgers-Padres. Craziness always happens when they match up. And the Dodgers going down early is always must watch TV, right? So everyone's going to be watching them.
Number six for me is going to be the Mets versus Atlanta. I think NL East matchups are kind of like the NFC East, where it's like every single matchup in there, there's bad blood. And I think it is, especially within that like love triangle of the Phillies, Atlanta, and the Mets, they all hate each other so much. Probably shouldn't have said love triangle. I probably should have said hate triangle. Regardless, I think the Mets-Atlanta would be a super fun series to watch, especially how deep that rivalry was just a couple of years ago when the Mets were, you know, winning 100 games and the Atlanta stole a division from them later in the season. ended up going on to lose to Philadelphia, ironically enough, the third team in there in the playoffs. But I still think seeing a Mets Atlanta, say a wild card series, or even, you know, an NLDS or something like that would be a ton of fun, considering how those two fan bases are. Number five.
Number five is where I have the Diamondbacks Padres wild card game or series now. This would be the perfect series to kick off the postseason, in my opinion. I've been still trying to figure out which one of these teams is better, and I think it'd be an awesome way to start it off.
My number five, I'm going to go with Houston versus the Dodgers in a World Series matchup. It's probably going to be, you know, one or two or three on most people's list, but I think this matchup has fallen off a little bit for me because it did occur, you know, 7 to 8 years ago. Now at this point, I still think though, World Series Game Five and that, you know, Houston Dodgers World Series is the best game I've ever watched in my entire life, and to get the chance of that possibly happen again with those two teams, and you know, the bad blood that we've seen over them, you know, have in the last 5 years. I think it'd be fun to watch. I think it's starting to become more and more realistic every single day with how we see the NL kind of being a bit weaker and the Houston Astros just being scorching hot over the last, you know, month and a half, considering in comparison to these other teams in the AL. Number four.
Number four is the highest spot for the Astros. I have them against the Yankees, of course. It's part five or six by now. In the rivalry, whether it's the second or the third round, it's one step closer to killing the Astros. And I rarely root for the Yankees, but that's why this is the matchup that's high up for me. I think they can actually do it.
Number four for me is going to be a matchup that you had earlier. It's the Subway Series, the Yankees versus the Mets. Yes. Like you said, it's pretty unlikely, and that's why you had it low on your list. But something about the Mets team, you know, I wouldn't be 100% shocked if they just made a run, just because of the crazy, wacky season that they've had. And it just seems like that's how baseball turns. It goes away from logic and into the vibe once it gets to October. And I think the Mets have the perfect vibe for that. It's kind of contrast to how the Yankees are, very uniform right now. And they've been struggling to kind of add character into their lineup, whether it's, you know, Judge Chisholm or, you know, Alex Verdugo and the stuff that he's done this season. I think the two personalities of the team are pretty contrast. And I think it'd be a great matchup to watch between the two, you know, fan bases that hate each other, the big brother and the little brother in New York. Number three.
I mentioned earlier, I didn't have the Yankees and the Dodgers on my list. That's because I think I would like Orioles Dodgers a little more for the World Series. This one is probably split right down the middle on who America's rooting for because of Ohtani. Everyone loves him. How many runs are they going to score with these insane lineups in this series?
I don't know. The Dodgers pitching might shut them down. Who knows? Regardless, my number three is another NL East matchup. It's a matchup that we've seen a ton over the past 2 years, and I know it's going to be high on your list as well, too. The Philadelphia versus Atlanta series would just feed families, man. It's the rivalry and the bad blood that we saw in the 2022 playoffs, the 2023 playoffs, especially with Philly taking both those series as the underdog. Now the script has flipped a little bit. Atlanta seems to be the underdog. Philly's been the team that's been, you know, riding high the entire regular season. Maybe that flips the switch for Atlanta, and they can go ahead and win, you know, 3-2 in a 5-game series or something like that against that Philadelphia squad. I think it'd be super fun to watch, and I think especially with, you know, the storyline of this year kind of being backwards to what it's been last 2-3 years, it would make a pretty fun matchup to watch come October. Got to the top two, Skyler. What is your number two?
This is my series that would feed families. It's an NLCS rematch, Dodgers Diamondbacks. I believe it was a second round series last season. Ooh. Basically, baseball's two hottest teams right now. Can the Dodgers get back to the promised land? Can they actually beat them this time?
Wow. My number two, I decided to go with the Yankees versus Baltimore here. It's been a season series that feels like Baltimore's had the upper hand the entire season, but just, again, kind of like the Mets, like these rosters are comprised so differently, but yet still produce a similar result with them being so good. The Yankees have the, you know, 1-2 boom firepower and then a fall off. Orioles, you know, even with the Gunnar Henderson, kind of just remain constant at the top, you know, 1 through 9, and their guys are being really damn good. I think it'd be a fun series to watch. I think the fans in Baltimore want it. I think the fans in New York maybe don't want it as much, considering how they've struggled against Baltimore this year. But as a fan, neutral fan perspective, I think this game would be a lot of fun, especially for, you know, the younger team to go ahead and get an edge on the Yankees. We made it to number one, Skyler. What is the playoff matchup you've been dying to see?
Maybe this is the nostalgia kicking in, but my dream World Series matchup for this season is also going to be a rematch. It's the Phillies and the Yankees. It was a great series in 09. It was the last time the Yankees were thought of as this superpower that we see them today. And when the series kicked off in the second half of the season, I thought all those extra inning games were awesome. This immediately went to the top of the list for me. Both these teams have a player for every situation, and that would make everything dramatic in this really fast-paced version of baseball we have now.
Yeah, it would be a good game. I left that one off. I just the nostalgia was perfectly there for me. Yeah. I don't know, something about it, I felt like that'd be a wacky series to watch. My number one is an NLDS matchup from a couple years ago that I think would be ridiculous fun to watch, especially because of how much these two fan bases hate each other. It's the Dodgers and the Padres. I mean, every single regular season game between these two, it feels like something's going on where the Padres are showing Clayton Kershaw crying on the Jumbotron, or next thing you know, you're watching, you know, fights at Chavez Ravine between the two fans. These two teams hate each other. And I think it's, again, you know, the little brother, big brother aspect of it, where the Padres just want to beat the Dodgers and the Dodgers just want to win a World Series for once without having, you know, an asterisk go to it with, you know, the COVID year or whatever. I don't really consider an asterisk, but most people do. Regardless, you know, these two teams being so close to each other geographically, having a connected history of, you know, the Dodgers kind of always having the upper hand, and now the vibe of the Padres kind of being, you know, the team that can make everything happen. I think it'd be a great matchup. It was super electric to watch in 2022, and I think it'd be even more electric in 2024.
All right. What do you think we're going to go on this series? I mean, we did have a lot of wild card and DS matchups on here. I'm glad that we both did. A lot more likely to happen.
The amount that we actually see?
Yeah.
I think we could probably see like 3 of each in ours. I think that's valid because I only chose 1, 2, 3 World Series matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And they all include the Yankees, I think, or the Dodgers. So I think that's kind of consistent there with being a possibility. I don't know. I say if I see 2 or 3 of these, I'm excited. If I see Dodgers, Padres, that'll be enough for me. I don't need to see anything else.
But
moving on, though, to the QB draft. We have actually split the first pick so far. So I got it in the running back. Skyler got it in the wide receiver draft. So I guess I could pull up a heads or tails here for our last one.
Okay.
We can break the tie, I guess. All right. Flipping the coin right now. Do you have heads or tails?
I'll go with heads.
It is heads.
All right. You, sir, can have the number one pick.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Kind of throwing that on me real quick.
Yeah.
Let me get the spreadsheet stuff down so
I can you're good.
Have it all written down. I mean,
you probably weren't expecting that, but
no, you're all good. You're all good.
I guess 1 through 3 is a little more jumbled than I expected, but I'll take the pass.
Ooh, it's always interesting with this first pick. I'm going to take. I'll first off clarify the scoring. Yeah. It'll be similar to our running back wide receiver where you get 10 points per 100 yards and 15 points per touchdown. Also, you know, with rushing stats, same thing where, you know, it's 10 points per 100, 15 per touchdown. And so QBs are going to be valued quite a bit in this regardless. We're both going to have 8, so it's not like we're having a positional advantage. And my first one that I'm going to take is going to be Jalen Hurts. I think he – has the opportunity for a ton of touchdowns this year. Adding Saquon Barkley is only going to help his rushing cause, I'd imagine. It's also going to help his passing cause because Saquon Barkley is a great pass catcher. I think Philadelphia is probably going to have one of the best offenses in the league this year, and Jalen Hurts being at the center of it is a big part of it.
All right. I'm actually completely fine with this because even though they may be right next to each other in points, I have Josh Allen as the number one because I feel like he's going to have to do so much more to actually win games. He doesn't have Saquon Barkley, and that's why Josh Allen's my top guy. Even though he may throw a bunch of picks in the division, we'll see if you're playing against him those weeks. And I am going to take Lamar Jackson with my next pick, too. It might be a step back this season to save himself for the postseason at some point, but that's still a very good number three pick for a quarterback.
Moving on to my second and third pick. I think there's two guys that I am pretty comfortable with picking here. I'm going to go ahead and take Patrick Mahomes in the second. I think he is Patrick Mahomes. I don't really think there needs to be much there. And there's a group of like two or three guys I think would be interesting to take with this next pick, but there's one that kind of stands higher to me than the others, considering how he was in his rookie season. I think he's, you know, prepared to take a good step up in season two. I'm going ahead to take a CJ Stroud.
All right. CJ Stroud, a little lower on my board this year. So again, I'm okay with this. I'll try to explain myself. We'll start off with Kyler Murray. We all know he loves to run around. He can sling it too, though. Arizona's going to be down in a bunch of games. As long as they all stay together, him and Maserati Marv, I'm sure can figure out a way to put up some points. I feel a very similar way about Anthony Richardson. That's going to be my next pick. If the offense turns into NCAA 25, he can put up some similar numbers to Josh Allen. It just depends if they are going to go full-blown running power back quarterback offense or are they going to let him chill for a little bit. So we'll find out this season, but I'm going to take him now.
On to my next couple of picks here. I'll start off with Joe Burrow. I think he's going to have an offense that's berating defenses the entire year. Obviously, the rushing isn't higher than, you know, Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, or Josh Allen, any of the guys that you got. But I think the touchdown capability, he can throw for 40 tuds this year. I think that's within reason 100%. And then it kind of puts me in a weird spot for the second guy, because I think there's a few that are interesting to go with. I'll end up going with Jordan Love. I think he's going to throw a ton this year, and I think he's not a super big runner, but I think it feels like a year three jump for him. Even though it's not technically year three, it's like year six or whatever. It feels like he's in that era where he can, you know, go ahead and jump into that upper echelon of QBs. And I think he does it this year in Green Bay.
All right. We'll start it off with probably the riskiest pick of the draft here in the next round, Jaden Daniels. The thing is, he doesn't need to do necessarily what Stroud has done, but if his game is anything like Justin Fields, like we've been seeing in the preseason, he's going to put up a ton of points. So I'll take him. And I'm going to take Dak, too. At least we know CeeDee Lamb is back. Those two are always a great combination for fantasy football. I don't hate the pocket passers. I'm just not going to take them as high. If they're taken, they're taken.
Yeah. Pick 6 and 7 for me now. These be an interesting spot. I think, man, this is so tough because there's like three or four guys that I think would be perfect for these picks. I'll start off with the one guy I know I want to take. Might be a bit controversial. I'm going to take Caleb Williams. I think that Chicago offense is going to be extremely underrated. And I think he's got the ceiling to be really damn good, even in his rookie season. So I'm okay with taking him there. And then for my 7th pick, I know there's somebody on here that you want to take, but I don't know. I am going to end up going with I'll do it. I'm gonna go ahead and take Aaron Rodgers. I think Jets offense, like Skyler believes, should be pretty damn good. And if he stays healthy, he's gonna have the receivers to just get the ball downfield. And I think relying on Aaron Rodgers' arm seems to be a thing that, you know, prior to last season was a pretty sure thing to do. So hey, Rod.
All right.
Final two picks for you.
Last two picks. And I have these two guys ranked right next to each other. And along with Caleb Williams, too. It's kind of a three-headed monster here if you miss out on the top 10 quarterbacks. I'm going to go with Tua and Brock Purdy. Tua, again, completely different players, right? But Tua, you wouldn't be shocked if he led the league in passing. That's just kind of how the offense is run. Brock Purdy, it's kind of the opposite. You're just, you got to pick him up. You got to play him. You know he's not going to throw three picks. You know, he has a shot at running a little bit, too. And I think that's a little safer than an injured Trevor Lawrence or Cousins or Herbert.
So my last pick now leaves me in a weird spot because the guys I can fully disclose what I want to talk about here. Yeah. Herbert's an interesting one, but I think he just has no receivers to throw to. That makes it really tough. Kirk Cousins is a guy I like. Are they going to play Penix at all? Like, how is that going to work? I really have no clue. But if he's playing all, you know, 17 games or whatever, he's going to put up monster stats. That's just how Kirk Cousins is. Deshaun Watson, hell no. I'm not taking Deshaun Watson. Trevor Lawrence, I also don't like. Goff and Stafford are both interesting. I think it's pretty cool now how their seasons or their careers are pretty intertwined, being traded for each other. Now they're very similar quarterbacks, but trades both worked out for both teams because Lions got better with Goff and Rams obviously won a Super Bowl with Stafford. I'm going to go ahead and I'll do it. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to go ahead and take Kirk Cousins. I think that Atlanta offense has a ton of potential. Three guys on their entire offense. And we, you know, been boom candidates in fantasy, whether it's Drake London, Bijan Robinson, or Kyle Pitts. And I think this could finally be the year that they do it with a comparable, you know, coach, a good quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Hopefully, if he plays outside of, you know, Michael Penix and whatnot, but I'm confident with him as a guy that can throw for 303 each game if he's in there.
Yeah.
So that does it. That went different than what I expected it to go. I feel like we have different styles of quarterbacks the entire way through.
Yeah,
you got more running guys.
Yeah, board fell my way a little bit there.
Yeah, and I want more pocket passers of my guys, it looks like. But I don't know, we'll see different strategies. We'll see how it ends up working out.
Guys are going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's true. Michael Penix will start by week three. You know, things will change. Chad Henne will be the starting QB he's not on the Chiefs anymore, but who knows. On to the second half. Starting off with this college football week zero standouts from Skyler.
Yeah, week zero was interesting. I mean, I'll take it. I watched all the games. It wasn't bad football necessarily. Week one's just going to be so much better. We'll start off with this Georgia Tech game, I guess. They beat Florida State 24-21, number 10. They get the win in Ireland. DJU looked terrible, like I said. The Georgia Tech D-line had 7 tackles for a loss, and their running back Jamal Haynes gets player of the game, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Montana State beats New Mexico 35-31. This was a wild one in the desert. The FCS team does get the win. Player of the game was Montana State freshman running back Adam Jones, 170 yards and a touchdown. Watch out for his transfer in a couple years. We had SMU win at Nevada, and Hawaii scraped one late against Delaware State. All those four schools look pretty rough, so we don't need to get into that. Now we got the must-watch schedule for this week, college football week one. We'll start it off on Thursday. You must watch North Dakota State at Colorado. It's all the superpowers of Colorado coming together. One last shot in the Big 12. Sanders, Hunter, other Sanders.
I'm watching that one for sure.
And the other Sanders, the head coach, too.
Yeah, the other one, yeah. Dion. On Friday night.
And yeah, also, yeah. What, their NIL stuff in Dubai or whatever.
Yes, yes. They may be getting in trouble. I mean, technically, it's probably not illegal, but yeah, that's a little sketchy.
I don't want to interrupt, but it feels like that was, you know, just another wacky headline of college football.
Man. Friday night, we are back. No NFL football this week. So we got Oklahoma Temple at 4 if you want to see the new quarterback, Jackson Arnold. After that, though, the night game, I think TCU at Stanford's a must watch. TCU's always got a great offense. Stanford, it's their first year in the ACC. They got Aliki Umanor, another must-watch NFL prospect. So I like that. Sunday is pretty self-explanatory for me. 9 a.m., you'll be watching number one Georgia against number 14 Clemson at the Superdome. Clemson is supposed to be much better this season, but it's still Georgia in Georgia. I'm probably not going to be taking Clemson. At 12:30, we got number 19 Miami with Cam Ward, their new quarterback, at Florida. They have Graham Mertz coming back. Another interesting battle of the Florida teams. Who is going to choke early and ruin their playoff chances? At 4:30, another awesome one. We got number 7 Notre Dame with their new quarterback, Riley Leonard, going at number 20 Texas A&M. I like Notre Dame in that one, even on the road. Texas A&M, it's like when you're playing a dynasty and your entire team is athletes. And you're like, huh, he's higher at running back, but should I put him at edge if he has better potential? It's just, it's so weird. Obviously, Nick Scourton, though, is looking like a top 10 pick. At 7:30 for the West Coasters, that's us. Two options for the night game, New Mexico at number 21, Arizona. If you want to get your first look at Arizona quarterback Noah Fifita, reminds me a lot of Bryce Young, maybe a second rounder. Or the closer game at the same time is going to be Wyoming at Arizona State. Don't forget, though, Monday night we have another battle of top offenses trying out new quarterbacks. That's 23 USC with Miller Moss and 13 LSU with Grant Nussmeier. It's going to be an awesome couple of nights of football, nonstop.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be so fun this year that we just get to see so many unique matchups that we're not used to in college football. Usually it's, you know, say, for example, Michigan. You know, they have, you know, their game against an FCS school week 2. And then, you know, once we get to week 4, it's, you know, 10 straight conference games and you're done. You know, we'll see you playing, you know, someone in the playoffs maybe, but now that we get to see these intriguing matchups, especially starting in week 2 with Texas and Michigan, that's going to be crazy. Jumping out a little bit ahead there, but just a lot of stuff this year that's going to be different than what it was in the past with college football. I feel like it can get a little bit monotonous where, you know, the rivalries are cool, but, you know, seeing the same teams play the same thing every single year and always having all these fans say, oh, we're better, no, we're better. It was very annoying. Now we actually get to see a lot of teams play, which should be a lot of fun.
And a big mystery at the quarterback position for the entire nation, thanks to the transfer portal.
Yeah. Moving on, though, to our layups bowl predictions. It was a rough week. We went 1-for-4. We'll get into those picks, though. First one was Houston over Boston on Wednesday for my layup. That unfortunately did not happen. Skyler had Hawaii minus 39 versus Delaware State. Delaware State, props to them for making it somewhat of a game. I know they still lost by, I think, 3 touchdowns, but to miss your flights and then go not just across the country, but across the Pacific Ocean and a country, and then get to Hawaii, I believe, like, you know, Friday morning or Friday night, whatever it was, and then play football the next day was pretty ridiculous. So props to them and making that a game for your first game of the season. Yeah, now good luck flying back 12,000 miles and then playing another team next week. Regardless, this week I have – the Thursday game, North Dakota State versus Colorado, going over 60.5. I think Colorado's biggest thing last year was they just didn't have the size to stop guys. And I know North Dakota State's not going to be running out Alabama-sized guys, but they got the offense to get it done. They've done it in the FCS for forever, it feels like. And Colorado, they have the playmakers that North Dakota State is not going to be able to stop, and Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. So I'll take the over in that game.
Also going with college football for my layup, hinted at it earlier. I got number 7 North Dakota covering the +3 points that they're getting for playing at Kyle Field at number 20, Texas A&M. Like I was saying, Texas A&M is such a mystery. We don't know what's going on. Connor Wiegman, he's got the arm strength of an NFL player, but we don't know where his head's at yet. On the other hand, Riley Leonard, before he got hurt at Duke, he beat Clemson. He looked really good. So I'm going to roll with Notre Dame week one.
Moving on to bold predictions. Last week, I had an interesting one. With the A's taking a series from Milwaukee over the weekend, that did not happen. We did lose a series, but we didn't get swept. Took one out of three, unfortunately. So that goes red for Skyler. He had Georgia Tech over Florida State in Dublin, Ireland on Saturday. That did happen, of course. It's a good pick there. Game-winning field goal for Tech in that one. This week, it's week one in college football, so I had to pick the craziest pick I ever saw. When I was scrolling through the games trying to find an upset that I liked, this one just spoke to me. So I went with Old Dominion plus 900 versus South Carolina. Not saying put your mortgage on it. I'm just saying it's got the thing that just sticks out to me.
A lot of freshmen for the Gamecocks.
No.
Yeah. Mine was not in the same stratosphere at all as yours. I'm not quite ready to make those bold predictions. I want to feel it out. So I'm going to take the Florida Gators to win at home against 19 Miami. It's only a plus 120, but it's Cam Ward's first game in the system. Graham Mertz has been at Florida for a little bit. I'm sure they could squeeze one out. This is going to be a really ugly game, I think.
Moving on. To nothing, because we're done. But that's going to do it for episode 207. A shorter episode, of course, should just under 40 minutes. It should be short and sweet. Got everything in there. Week one next week, this week, of course, for college football. Week one next week for NFL football. Next week is going to be the episode that you're going to want to listen to if you want to figure out how good your team is going to be next year or this year, according to us. The full in-depth NFL season preview. We'll do the whole season, or not the whole season right here, but we'll talk about every single team, how their season is going to play out. We'll talk about awards. We'll talk about playoff teams. You know, sleepers, guys are going to bust it, that are not going to be good this year. Everything. You'll hear it next week. Super Bowl winners, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, it's always a big prediction week. Your favorite team will 100% be talked about, represented properly, and just ready to kick
unless
this
you're
thing
the
off,
Denver
man.
Broncos.
Unless you're the Broncos or the Vikings, we'll say lots of nice things about your football team.
Yeah. Fuck you, Tim Patrick.
All right. Goodbye, Tim Patrick. We'll see you next week for 208 and the full in-depth NFL season preview.